Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Today on the Ether, the IBC Gang Cosmos Market Review, hosted by Crypto Tank. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I hope you guys are all doing well. There's been quite a bit of really good spaces recently. Kevin from Oni was actually talking just recently. If you guys missed that, look out for Terra Spaces. If they actually recorded it like normal on Twitter, I definitely know that Terra Spaces was recording it. But yeah, out for that, because that was a really great spaces that they did with Lavana. Super interesting. They were going over calls and puts and basically what the platform is going to be doing. So that was a really, really good, informative, very important space that if you guys later on are bored, want to listen to something while you're doing chores or, you know, at work or after this spaces, I definitely recommend you guys go check out that one that just recently happened. I think it was right around 12 o'clock today. So you can the Lavana Twitter handle or Kevin's. I think Kevin actually tweeted it out as well, but you can go there and kind of like get a really quick recap. Although I do recommend listening to the whole thing because it was great. It was absolutely great. Super excited about what they're doing. Super excited as we learn more about Kujira as well. But we'll get into that after we talk about the markets. All really crazy things happening so quickly in our space that, you know, it's funny how things were so bearish and then all of a sudden they get pretty interesting, right? Seem like nothing's going on and all of a sudden everything's happening. But so is the bear market. That's what happens, guys. They build in the bear market. Usually a lot of these teams are quietly building and they come out with stuff. And it just blows people's minds. So let's go ahead and jump on into it. Let me fire up my computer real quick. What's up, everybody? What's up, Bees? What's up, Greek? 360, what's going on, my friend? Sunny Side, what is going on? What is going on, my friends? All right, let me fire up the trading view charts, see where we're sitting right now. Okay, we're going to start off with the Dow Jones. Again, I do this just like how I do my live streams. I start off with the traditional markets and then I kind of go into Bitcoin, Ethereum, and of course the Cosmos ecosystem. If anybody would like to jump in between whenever I'm talking, at any time actually, feel free, just raise your hand and I'll pull you guys up here and you guys can voice yourself and or ask any questions. It's a free platform. I try to keep it open. What's up, Gaines? What's up, guys? What's up? What's up, man? What's up, everybody? What's up, Total? Terra Spaces in the house. Get you up here, buddy. What is up? What's up, Sasha? What's up, Gaines? How you doing?
Mr. Tank, how are you, dude?
I'm doing well.
Dude, you gotta go back and listen to the space that I did with Legendarius and Yopster. Man, Yopster is definitely an entrepreneur, bro. You should listen to that space, man.
It was really definitely good. I definitely will. Did they record it or did Terra Spaces? Obviously, Terra Spaces probably recorded it, right?
Both. Yeah, it's recorded.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be on the lookout for. Was that today?
Yeah, that was today at like 10 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard.
I was getting ready to go. It's probably right when I was Eastern Standard. It's either right when I'm going live or right when I'm, what is that, 9 o'clock? Eastern, 10, Eastern? Yeah, 9. It's right when I'm going live.
Mm-hmm.
I got to structure myself better so I can start capturing or listening to all of you guys' spaces. I got to start doing something.
But no, I mean, I think you should still keep doing your thing because the times when I don't have a space or I'm not in a space in the morning, I tune into yours and it's just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. You're like, you better not because I need something to do.
Yes.
Well, cool. I'll definitely do that. Give everybody else a quick heads up. What were you guys talking about?
Well, basically, we just got to know Yapser really well, and I was blown away. The dude has a master's degree, bro, and used to work for the Federal Reserve. So that's just a little, that's a little sneak peek. So definitely tune in. And Legendarius is giving away a season 2 anime. So if you listen to the space, you'll get an idea of how to participate.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, definitely. You guys heard it. Be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for that. I'm definitely going to do that. I always find myself late in the afternoon, like when I have nothing or when I'm watching, if I'm not doing a space as well, if I'm watching my boys do jiu-jitsu, I just try to tune into old spaces that I may have missed, and I just kind of like chill. So yeah, thanks for the heads up, man.
No problem.
We're going to go ahead and talk about the Dow Jones. The Dow Jones actually split even right now, guys. It is basically flat. It's down a little bit in the red, 0.07, which basically is nothing. We were telling everybody in the streams and in our spaces the other day, and even the days before that, don't count your eggs before they hatch, right? I think that's the saying. A little premature with all this bearish thing that everybody was talking about. Again, I get it. I do get that narrative. I do get people's concerns. But if you kind of zoom out, if you're really paying attention to what's happening with the economy, not just in the United States, but across the globe, there was many, many, many reasons to think that this might actually continue or at least go sideways. I preferably, before I go any further, would like to see this go sideways and not just keep pumping. One, because I don't think it's sustainable. Two, it's not maintainable. And three, it's not realistic. So I would much rather us reconquer the 200 SMA for a lot of these traditional indexes and then just kind of go sideways. We don't need to blast off. If we go sideways, that would be more than enough for the crypto markets to kind of recompose themselves, get into a bullish position again, and do its thing. But for that, let me go ahead and, now that I said my piece, go into the Dow Jones. We're trading right now at 33,965. Again, we're fighting to get back into the green. We're down, even it's coming down even a little bit more as we speak, 0.04%, which is basically flat. It's neutral. We're headed, or we're hanging out right above the 200 SMA on the daily time frame. Of course, I use MarketCypher as my primary oscillator, an indicator tool of choice. So that's that on MarketCypher A, which is where the traditional charts are, or the traditional candles, excuse me. We're trying to fight and stay above the 200 SMA. Of course, we were going to run into a lot of resistance. If you guys look back on the daily time frame, you can see that whenever we did pop up through the 200 SMA back here on February 2nd to about February 11th, when we actually cut back down underneath the 200 SMA, every single time after that, anytime we tried to get back above it, it just did not happen. So the trend is our friend until it's not. Expect volatility, expect some sell pressure right around this range. It's a critical moment. It's a critical place in the chart. It's a critical moment for the charts. So again, expect some volatility. We do have a couple of things actually in our favor. Obviously, if you guys weren't, if you guys were paying attention to what the Fed's minutes that came out yesterday said, a lot of people are expecting a 50 basis rate hike. Some of these things I can't say quickly. So that's kind of good news for a lot of people. Not totally out of the woods just yet, but it is better than seeing, 75, or even a whole 100. So it is better for us short term. We got to see if they actually stay true to that. There was a lot of verbiage in there, but again, if you guys actually didn't get to catch it, the general rundown, or like the quick, what were they called? Cliff notes back in the day, the quick cliff notes. Some of you guys might not even be old enough to know what that is, but the quick cliff notes is, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. It wasn't fantastic, but it was pretty good. So we're seeing the NASDAQ up right now, not by a lot. The Russell is up right now and the SPX up right now. The only one that is still fighting to get into a neutral position is the Dow. And that is basically happening as we speak. It's down now from 0.04 to 0.02. So it's fighting, guys. It is fighting as we lead into the afternoon and close out the day for the markets. If it can close in a really bullish way, again, what I was saying in my last spaces, what I was saying on the stream, as long as we close above 33,797, which again, we're not too far above it right now, that is really good. Again, that kind of leads straight into the same zone of where the 200 SMA is. And that would just put us in a really good bullish posture for the short to medium term. Again, I'm thinking maybe the next month, leading into maybe 2 months from now, right? Leading into the end of the year. Going here, I do want to point out, though, as I'm saying all of those things, MarketCypher B, which is the lower section of the charts that houses the RSIs and the momentum waves, right now does show a red dot on the daily time frame for the Dow Jones. This is kind of delayed though, because if you watch my channel, I always try to reference the Russell being the leading indicator for the index funds. Whenever the Russell flashes something, it's usually a day or two in advance compared to the other indexes. What I'm talking about is the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the SPX. The Russell will actually flash the signal beforehand, and that actually flashed. What day was that? That was on the 16th. So 2 days ago, that actually flashed and actually played out. Not fully, but it did play out somewhat for price action to come back down a little bit. We did see a little bit of sell pressure come in. Not a lot. Not a lot, but we did see a little breather action take place on the charts. So again, not really all too surprised that the Dow is now actually flashing it. I actually called it 2 days ago when that did flash for the Russell. So again, it is kind of what it is, right? It's just playing out what we already knew. Still though, as I'm saying that, you know, it's there. So please keep that in mind. Red dots, RSIs that are rounding. Granted, not both of the RSIs for the daily on the Dow Jones chart is actually rounding and coming down. They're actually split and they're indifferent right now. So one's kind of rounding, the other one's coming up. The stochastics come blah 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 blah. Gosh, I'm just getting tongue-tied. I need to probably drink some water. Hold on 1 second. Ooh, just got back from jiu-jitsu, guys. Trying to talk a mile a minute and it's not working out. That's better. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is the RSIs on Market Cipher, they're kind of split and they're not giving a clear signal right now. One's pointing upwards, the other one is rolling back down, but we do show a red dot. So keep that in your back pocket and do with that what you will. NASDAQ, though, NASDAQ does show a little bit of strength. It's up 0.45% on the daily time frame. We had a little bit of concerns with the minutes yesterday, and now it looks like after reaching both yesterday and today, right around 13.4, it's come back up. It's fighting to stay in position right now. And granted, like I honestly would expect it to come back down and retest some other lower levels. I think it would be absolutely fine if it came down to 13.284, but it's staying well away from that at the current moment. And so that's a good sign, guys. That is a good sign. I know a lot of people tie the NASDAQ to the crypto markets, and it is a pretty fair representation and between traditional markets and crypto. So, you know, right now the position that it's in looks really good. Looks really, really good, especially being that Fridays we're gonna have the close, right? So if we can get through today, tomorrow, I always think Thursday and Friday's price action is probably one of the most important days for price action on the charts. If we can get through today and tomorrow in the green, I think we're looking pretty good. But yeah, right now we've already played out our red dot yesterday for Market Cipher B on the US 100 index. It ignored it. So, I would say if we close today in the way that we are, it might totally invalidate it. But yeah, we just got to pay attention to it, guys. We just got to pay attention to it. Russell, like I said, is actually up 0.7%. And again, if that's the leading indicator, I do suspect that the rest of the markets tomorrow will probably follow suit and be also green again. It's not up tremendously. It's only up 0.7% as we speak, right? Still hovering right underneath the 200 SMA for the Russell. To be expected, like I said, 200 SMA on the daily is a strong level no matter what chart you're looking at. So be mindful of it, guys. Watch it. I'm paying close attention to it as we go through the next 48 hours. SPX up 0.26%, trading at 42.85. Kind of smashing it out right now. Kind of smashing it out if you're looking at the daily time frame. Kind of really don't know how I feel about this one, to be honest with you. We got rejected off the 200 SMA. And right now we're kind of just trying to hang tough. I made that reference earlier, right? New kids on the block, just trying to hang tough right here at this price point. Again, if we can just close over the next 2 hours, basically where we are right now, I think that's all we need. You know, if you guys look back at the trends, whenever we actually do have some sell pressure with the S&P 500, we usually get pancake candles. And right now, the great thing is the ranges from today, even yesterday, guys, are not very far. Like the range yesterday came down to 42.56, and the high was about 43.2, and today it's even less than that. So we're not seeing too much volatility with price action, which is kind of a good thing, to be honest with you, in my humble opinion. you know, could obviously play in the opposite direction, but I think that's a really good sign. If we saw a lot of sell pressure, we'd see that movement to the downside, but we're not seeing it. We're seeing it kind of stall out right here and really not move anywhere. So not a lot of selling pressure, not a lot of buying pressure. All in all, if the trend is in the green, that's a good sign. Now, if we didn't see that and it was in the red, it would be a bad sign, but you know, it is what it is, guys. Still, we are underneath the 200 SMA. We do need to break above the 200 SMA for a lot of these. I think the only one that's above right now is the Dow. But again, we would like to see the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the SPX all pop up above the 200 SMA and stay above it for at least a week. If it can stay above it at least a week, I guess I would humbly say that, you know, maybe game back on, maybe risk on again, right? Maybe. But again, I like to see that sustain itself above the 200 SMA for all of those traditional indexes for at least a week. That way we know it's actually, you know, sustainable somewhat. Even a week is not very long, but that'd be something at least to kind of make a judgment call on. If that makes all sense, guys, I'll just move on into Bitcoin. Unless anybody has any questions whatsoever, you guys can jump up in here. Let me go into Bitcoin then. Bitcoin right now on my charts, guys, testing a critical level right now. Basically, that's 23.1. We're just above it. We've been hanging above it for a little while. Actually, yesterday we tested it almost exactly with a wick on the daily time frame. And right now we're just slowly bleeding down to it. But we are trying our best. We've been hovering around 23.3 for a good majority of the day. We haven't really moved all too quickly below 2,300. I'm sorry, 23,100. And that's, you know, it's not the best. I would like to see more of a wick on today's daily candle, like yesterday's daily candle, but we are still above it right now. And ultimately, realistically, we could come down to 23,100 and thread through it, which means we could break down below that and still be absolutely fine. We could kind of take a threading position on the charts. As long as we hold that, we're still trend intact. We're still okay. And even, I said this a few times, we could come down to 22.3, basically 22.3 to 22.4, and still be testing, you know, a certain level, which would still keep us intact long term. But realistically, we could even break that. I just don't want to see us come down to about 21.5. 21.5 to 2200, or I'm sorry, 22,000 is like, oh no, I think we're going to be invalidating everything else if we go below that. So I'm really watching out for that, guys. It's a really key moment for Bitcoin. So with that being said, keep that in mind when we talk about altcoins. If Bitcoin moves in the opposite direction, I don't care how bullish you are on altcoins. I don't care what's happening. The market's going to follow. So watch out for 23.1. Watch out for 22.3 to 22.5. And then ultimately 22 to be like the oh shit moment, to be honest with you. So I keep forgetting that I can swear on Twitter. So YouTube, I swear, YouTube got me trained. I still try not to swear as much, but sometimes I just let it go. But yeah, 22 would be my oh shit moment. And we're probably going to be invalidating a lot of other things. Although I will say we do still have some key levels underneath us. So that's what I got right now. I don't see anything on Market Cipher B showing me any kind of like reversal strength just yet. I do, like when I zoom it and stretch it, I do see a little bit of flattening with the RSIs. They were pointing down much more. It does look like it's trying to flatline a little bit, like it's done in the past, where we come down just a little bit, make a Dr. Seuss stair-stepping movement on the charts. And ultimately, again, right, like this is a critical level. Like we could still like use a back test. Like I've said it many, many times on my live stream, I like when things actually get back tested. So this right now is just par for the course per my investing strategy, per my trading strategy. And, you know, I've already taken profits and secured, you know, bags and everything was like a week ago, I think. So again, I'm just waiting for that rinse and repeat or a clear signal from the markets to tell me what it wants to do before I react. Don't front run things, guys. It's not your job to front run things. It's your job to look at what the market's telling you and then judge that and act accordingly per your own portfolio. So yeah, I just want to put that out there, guys. But that's what I got for Bitcoin. Unless anybody has any questions, feel free. Again, feel free to come up here and talk about it. You guys are always feel free. You guys are always welcome to come up here and talk about it. But again, no pressure. No pressure. We're going to move on in to, Let's take a look at ETH. How many of you guys think the ETH merge is going to go off without a hitch? Well, actually, I should take that back. How many of you guys think the ETH merge is going to be successful? If you guys think the ETH merge is going to be successful, do a clap. Don't do a love. Do a clap. You guys think that's going to be successful? You guys think that's actually going to hit their time frame this time? Yeah. Interesting. Rush is laughing. Yeah. Excuse me, guys. I'm chewing ice. I know that's not professional. I've seen it for years. I've heard it for years. I'm hopeful this time. Like I didn't get really hopeful of all the other times. I was a big ETH miner. Well, at least I had a semi for an at home setup. I had a pretty decent setup where I had like 20 to 30 cards mining at any given time, which wasn't much compared to a lot of other people. But you know, I've been mining ETH. I've heard it a million times before. I am admittingly this time a little hopeful that it does actually go off because I think it might be the catalyst to drag the crypto market somewhat along to the upside. I don't think it's going to be a major explosion like a lot of people are anticipating or like a lot of people are hoping, but I do think that if it definitely goes off with somewhat without a hitch, there's going to be problems. But if it can go off somewhat relatively smoothly, I think the rest of the crypto market does have a pretty good chance of seeing some upside, or at least being dragged along with that momentum from ETH. So I am hopeful for that reason. But again, you know, I've been told many of things in my relationship between ETH and myself. So it's kind of one of those things where I believe it when I see it. So you can only hurt me so many times, ETH. You can only hurt my heart so many times. But yeah, so ETH right now, though, let me go ahead and take a look at it real quickly. Let me pull it up here. Where are you at, ETH? Where are you at? ETH trading at 1870. Had a real hard time trying to break into 2000. Again, we need to get above the 200 SMA, which is 2244 on the daily time frame for Ethereum. I actually had a pretty significant level right here. And if you guys weren't following my channel, I definitely have a little shame this shill right now. Do me a favor, go check out YouTube, type in IBC Gang. It's really simple. It's the one that says IBC Gang. Drop us a follow. I keep trying to say follow, subscribe because it's different, right? Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe to the channel and follow us, guys. We go live on Monday through Friday, 9:15 Central Standard Time, just about every single Monday through Friday. So I like this very. Gosh, I was thinking about it when I went to jiu-jitsu today. I don't think I've really missed a stream other than like traveling or something like that in a long, long time. So I try to be pretty consistent. But to get to my point, though, if you guys were following the stream, I've been sharing with you guys the 200 SMA strategy. I haven't showed anybody the Ethereum chart, which was 48.88% total move down after the 200 SMA does not hold up as support. That is the average move using just the overall price action going back as far as I could with Ethereum. Whenever we break below the 200 SMA, we're actually threading that same line right now. So kind of funny how it held up once as support before and now is of course treating us as resistance right now. I will say, if you use that line going back from on the daily time frame from right around June 2nd, and you kind of zoom out a little bit, what's happening right now looks very much like a cup and handle pattern kind of playing out. All we need to have is a little bit of a dip and then a reversal back to the upside, and then we will complete a handle pattern, which of course is a bullish pattern. But I'm not really putting too much emphasis in those kind of patterns right now. I just can't help but notice that as we're looking at it, it's a humongous cup right now. We just don't have a candle or a handle playing out just yet. But, you know, hey, if we keep bleeding for a little bit and then it comes and pops back up to this line that I've been sharing with you guys, which is right around 1876, we could definitely create that cup and handle pattern. So sometimes a little bit of sell pressure leads into a good thing, right? Sometimes a little bit of hurt leads into some pleasure. So I don't know what you guys are into. Stop, get your minds out of the gutter. But yeah, so that's what I'm seeing right now. It's just kind of funny how we're threading it right now. We're right underneath that 200 SMA strategy that I've been sharing with you guys before, which was once support treating us as resistance. hopefully actually gets flipped into support. But we got to watch. We got to watch. I'm loving it. I'm loving it like McDonald's. I will say the RSIs on Marcus Cypher B do show some rounding happening right now for Ethereum. Ethereum's up 2% on the day, give or take, which is not a lot. It's like $37. So, you know, it's whatever. If anybody has any questions about ETH, or if anybody has any comments about ETH, or if you guys believe, you guys, I know we're cosmonauts here, but you know, hey, you gotta think, you think some of y'all is kind of crazy if you guys don't have Bitcoin and ETH, right? We gotta talk about it. They're like our bigger brothers and sisters. They move, we move. What you doing? Okay, I'm coming with you. Eventually we won't be that way though. Eventually the Cosmos ecosystem will be on its own. And a lot of other protocols in the cryptoverse, right? Like eventually we will mature and we'll be kind of like doing our own thing. We won't be correlated to traditional markets. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I think, you know, when people say that, I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we're not tied to traditional markets. There's just so much money there. And the same money that's there is coming in to crypto. Like, so it's tied. It's always going to be tied. Like, you should just get that out of your mind. We're going to be doing that dance for the foreseeable future. It is what it is, guys. It just is what it is. So everybody's like, oh, one day we're going to break away. Come on, let's be real about it, guys. Unless the whole structure collapses, there's too much money. The money that we need for mainstream adoption is coming from those same institutions, those same centralized players, the big money guys. That's the money that we're asking for. So it's going to come along with that, you know, with that little tie forever. It is what it is. So, but I do think we will get to a point where some of these protocols will, in regards of the using the word mature, get to a point where, you know, nobody has to mess with it. And when I'm like, when people say mature, again, I'm kind of ranting right now. I was thinking about it a lot. I look at crypto maturing, like when people use that phrase, as meaning nobody needs to work on the protocol anymore. It can stand on its own and it is what it is without anybody fixing it, right? Like when Bitcoin is fully matured, it's when nobody needs to work on it anymore. It is what it is, right? That's the ideal scenario that we want for a lot of these assets, where it's mature enough to not have to be nurtured, to not have to be taken care of. I know that might be damn near impossible for a lot of different protocols, but that's kind of what I envision the term mature meaning in our space. So mature, not really being anything in regards to like breaking away from the traditional markets. Anyway, I kind of ranted about that. I'm sorry. Going into Atom though, right now, it is up 1.9% on the day. We came down to our level, which was 1150, popped right off of that, and we are doing absolutely fine. Matter of fact, it kind of led exactly with our long-term daily trend line that we had projected outwards, and which was once resistance, holding up as support. Again, that's 1150 quite perfectly. Again, a little too early to get super, super bullish, but hey, that's a really good sign. That is a really good sign. I will say, like I said on my stream today, guys, RSIs are pointing up on Market Cypher B. They're going to get close to pinching together. We do show a green trigger dot, which usually means that is a good trigger sign for upwards momentum to come in on the charts over the next couple of days. If you're on the daily time frame, you go back and look at triggers. And I mean, just the green dot. Don't be like BitBoy, but if you know what those triggers are, you can see the last couple of times we had a green dot, which was a trigger green dot, was here on August 5th on the daily time frame. What happened after that? Boom, we came up. We had a trigger green dot that happened on the 28th of July. Boom, we popped up. We had one even back. Again, I'm just back testing them, right? The last one after that was the 15th of July. Boom, we popped up again. Any single time that we've had that green trigger dot pop up on the daily time frame for Market Cypher B, we've had some pretty good price action. So again, you know, some good things to look forward to. Don't get overly bullish. Don't overextend. I'm just telling you guys what I'm seeing in the charts. Take profits while profits are there, rinse and or repeat. It's all gravy if you're doing so, right? But yeah, it looks pretty good. Give me one second. I'm going to drink drink some more and eat some more ice real quick. Mm-hmm. My wife would kill me, by the way. She's a dentist and she absolutely hates it when I chew on ice. I don't know why. So gratifying when you chew on ice. Does anybody else chew on ice here? You know what they say, right? I'm just joking. That's what I got for Adam. Let me move into Secret. Secret's super interesting on the daily time frame for today, we're up 3.3%. Not all too much. Like realistically, it's like 4 cents. I don't know how, like when you talk about percent wise, sometimes it sounds overly bullish in comparison to what the actual price movement is, dollar wise, it's 4 cents, guys. The one thing I do want to show, if you're looking at it on the daily time frame for Secret, yesterday we wicked down to exactly the same point that we wicked down to today and went away from it. Like we basically came down to the 0.5 on my chart, which is basically $1.22. It's not too high. Again, we're not too far away from that. But it's good. It's good when you see those wicks trying to stay away and they're kind of mimicking prior wicks. Our price action, that's a good thing. That's signs from the market saying, we don't want to be down there. We'd rather be back up here a little bit instead of going and touching those cooties, right? So that's kind of good news. But ultimately, we are still in if you look at Market Cipher A, we're still in a red candle. We actually traveled up to at one point $1.33. So I'd much rather be up there. But it is what it is, right? We could still bleed out a little bit more. Ultimately, looking for that 0.5 on the Fibonacci for my chart being $1.22, if we do keep leaning down to be a good level of support. And then I'm looking down to right around the range of 113 to 117. And then if that fails, guys, I'm looking at 104, which is a critical, critical place for Secret. And then ultimately right down here at 96. I'm sometimes I don't want to flood it, guys. I do sometimes wonder about Secret a little bit. Like I know they have Shade and Silk and all that stuff happening, but I really like, other than some NFT things that are really bullish and Shade and Silk, I don't know, show me the catalyst. And don't tell me privacy is like a catalyst thing that's gonna create a huge upside potential, because people don't care enough about their privacy. I'm just being fucking honest about that. Like privacy is not right now at the current moment the catalyst. We can talk. It's bullish. Don't get me wrong. It's important. But as far as investor hat on, people don't care about privacy. Not yet, at least. And I can tell you why. I said this before. People have Facebook on their phone. People have Instagram. People do TikToks. And people have Apple. People are using iPhones to listen to this right now. You guys don't give a fuck about privacy. That's the truth of the matter. Not enough to where it's going to catapult a protocol in price. So again, I'm not coming down on it, but this, I'm including myself. I'm talking on Apple phone right now. I have Facebook. I have Instagram. I don't give a fuck about it just enough just yet to really, really be the catalyst in that discussion. It has to be something else. It could be Shade. It could be Silk. I'm super bullish on that. We've seen some huge price appreciations for Shade just recently, right? That's super cool. Super, super cool. But other than NFTs, other than that, I could be, admittingly, I don't pay far, I need to pay way more attention to what's happening in the Secret ecosystem. But can somebody please fill me in with something else that's happening to, and tell me why I would want to buy more Secret right now? Tell me, please. Convince me otherwise. Admittedly, though, I have not sold any of my Secret. I have a small bag, definitely small in comparison to some. But yeah, I'm holding on to it because, eventually people will start caring about privacy. And I think Secret is well-positioned. Monero and Secret are my two things. Those are my gems when it comes to privacy. I'm just voicing my thoughts about it, right? Could be wrong. I don't want Secret or the Secret ecosystem or the Secret agents to come after me. Look, stop it. We can arm wrestle or do jiu-jitsu. Let's do it. But whatever. I'm not going to pull my punches or not voice my concerns. I'm just really, really curious about what's going to really drive that Secret narrative, Hopefully it is Shade and Silk. But yeah, y'all tell me. Y'all tell me. Let's go into Juno. Everybody loves them some Juno, right? $6.10. We're trying to get up to $6.11 right now. We're teeter-tottering between that. Yesterday, we actually came all the way up to 6.30, basically. 6.30 before running into some resistance. Again, that's basically where we've been running into a lot of resistance recently, is about $6.30. That's been a really, really hard ceiling for us to break through. I do think it will happen over time. It's inevitable, like I always say, right? Like, it's going to happen. If you guys believe in Juno like I believe, and I guess I am kind of being overly bullish and kind of giving you guys my biases or whatever it's called. I think it's going to happen. It's just, you know, when. It's down right now on the daily time frame. Like I said, yesterday we rose all the way up to 6.30. Today we're, you know, trying to fight at 6.10. So we're down 0.83%, but with every ebb, there is a flow. We're not down all too much. We are still above our critical level that we need to stay above, which is right around $5.91. That's what I have on my charts as far as resistance. So we broke through, threaded it a little bit. Now we're above it again. As long as we're above that and trading above $6, guys, it's par for the course. I'm fine. I'm loving it like McDonald's. Give me some honey to dip my chicken nuggets. Does anybody else do that? That's like the only thing I dip chicken nuggets is it's honey. But yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving it right now. If not, again, guys, you guys know the section of the charts. If you guys haven't followed the YouTube channel, please do so. When you do follow YouTube channel and look at any of the videos, you can find in the descriptions below and in those videos, there's a link to Discord. So if you guys want to see these charts, you guys can come and check out our Discord channel as well. But if you guys don't, I'll shout it out to you guys. If we break down, again, have some weird reason why Juno would go down to these levels, I'm looking at 514. I'm looking at 442. I'm looking at 396. I'm looking at 339. I'm giving you all the levels, guys. I'm looking at 310, 275, and then Goblin Town, which is around $2 to $2.25. I have a whole 4x4 strategy for my DCAing. But those are the levels that I'm looking at. Again, even my 4x4 strategy gets split up into fours as well. That's why it's called the 4x4. But basically, yeah, just take four sections on the charts, split it up by four even further, start DCAing per your capital, per your own risk tolerance, right? Let's move on. I'm so bullish, guys. I'm so bullish on Juno. Osmosis, Osmo token. Down on the daily 0.75% right now. It's trading at $1.21. You know, it might be down on the daily, but, you know, I'll take that. I'll take that all day, because basically all we're doing right now is we're trading on the high end of on the charts. We're kind of ping-ponging between two levels that I've been sharing for a long time on my YouTube channel. That is resistance being $1.12, and then, I'm sorry, support being $1.12, and resistance being right around $1.25. So we're on the higher end of that channel, and we're staying in it right now. So hey, stable it up, man. Just go sideways a little bit. Absolutely fine for me. I will tell you guys, on Market Cipher B, we do show another trigger dot, like I was saying, on the daily time frame. That is a good sign. We are still in the red. RSIs are trending upwards, guys. Looks good for the Osmo token. I know a lot of people have their opinions about platform tokens, but I will say, maybe again, a little bit of my bias. I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. I think the Osmo token is a little unique compared to other platform tokens. I look at it in the same light as what I look when I look at Binance and the BNB token. So could be wrong. I've been saying that for quite a while, but that's the way I look at it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to go to a BNB's price point. I'm just saying it looks similar as far as functional, as far as being it in a functional manner. Words hard today. What is words? Looking good on Market Cipher B. Looking good on Market Cipher B. Any questions? Nope, I don't see anybody. Everybody's just chilling. What's up, Bren? What's up, Blau? What's up, guys? I don't know why I make that noise all the time. Evmos trying its best to get up to $2. I will tell you guys this right now. Evmos, green trigger dot RSI is pointing up strongly on the daily time frame, back in the green. And we tested a critical short-term level on the charts, which is 185, and held up. We threaded through it. We threaded through it over the past 3 days a little bit, but we did hold up on those levels. I've been sharing it for a while in the Discord and on my YouTube channel. Again, I'm going to keep saying this, guys. You guys need to go to YouTube. It's IBC Gang. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. No other cosmonaut does this kind of stuff that I know, at least. Everybody else does pre-recorded videos. Do it live with the fam, guys, with the community. So again, if you guys appreciate it, if you guys like the insight, you know, it is just my food for thought. So again, not financial, just my food for thought. But I've been sharing these levels on the charts, guys. We're making a way up to $2. The more we test resistance and or support, which in this case is resistance, the more likely we are to break through said support and or resistance. Again, in this case, it is resistance. I think everybody would absolutely love seeing another $2 EVMOS. I will agree with CryptoCito on this one. EVMOS is the gift that keeps giving. it just is what it is, guys. But yeah, loving it, loving it. Maneki, we took a position, guys. Loving it, loving it. Let's move on into the Osmosis platform and talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let me see what's moving here. Y'all know what we're going to talk about. Kujira up 9.6 on the day. It's actually down a little bit. Actually, let me go to the Kuji. Sounds weird whenever I say it. Let me go to the Kuji platform and see what it says on their app here. How many of you guys got me in on Kuji just a little bit? Wick down to about 151. On the 2 hour chart. Well, let me go to the 1 hour chart on their platform. Wick down to about 150, basically, and pop back up, coming into a little bit of resistance on the 1 hourly time frame right now. But woof, man. Man, oh man, oh man. That was an easy one. I actually bought that one on limit. So hey, all good. Let me actually, what else got filled here? What you talk about? Oh. Let me see. Yep. A couple more. I got a couple more. I'm waiting for that whale to unlock on Monday, guys. But I got a couple more limit orders, laddering all the way down. You guys know how I do it. $145, $125, $1. And then just in case people get crazy, 70 cents. Well, actually 72 cents is the next level underneath that. And I even, my friends, have a really banger of an order all the way down to 50 cents. Believe you me, I have enough to reinforce my positions with more positions all the way down there. I'm ready for it. Unlock it, Mr. Whale. Unlock it. Do something sketchy with it. Give me a huge wick. I love those huge wicks. I will say, guys, the really interesting thing is not that Kuji USDC pair, but it's really the Atom pair. It's really these other pairings that are really, really, it's fucking crazy. Oh my God, I'm trying not to swear. It's crazy. Look, okay, if you go to the Atom USDC back here on the 16th, 2 days ago, there was a wick. There was a glorious wick all the way down to $1.14. Holy snickerdoodles. Somebody got a whole bunch of cheap Atom. I love setting limit orders really, really low on platforms that have low liquidity that can get manipulated like that. Look, let me look at, did that happen on Osmosis as well? Look at the Osmosis pair right here. Holy crap. Excuse you me. There was actually a wick on the 2 hour just recently, guys, on that pairing. It went up to $1.54. Holy crap. The movement was from 118. What is that in percentages? God, that gets me so happy and excited. That's a 38% move right around there in less than an hour. That's what, man, winners are winners right there. I need to be a winner right there, guys. Need to be degenning a little bit more over here and pairing up some things. So yeah, they got, was there any crazy stuff happening with EVMOS? Any crazy stuff happening with EVMOS here? Let me see. Oh yeah, there's some crazy stuff happening here. There's some crazy stuff happening here too, guys. Oh my goodness. You guys need to look at those kind of things, all right? When you guys go here, go to the Evmos USDC pair on Kuji. There was recently, again, on the 2nd, man, that was insane. On the 2nd of August, it moved from 139 to 286. Oh, we literally, on this recent 4 hour, had a huge volume spike right now. Let me see here. When did it actually take place? When did it actually take place? Come on now. Excuse me. 4 hours ago. Yeah. So 4 hours ago, there was a huge volume spike on that pairing. Went from 182 to basically one before topping out and getting some sell pressure, right about 199. That's in the percentages, guys. You got to take that all day, every day. That's awesome. Ish awesome. But yeah, loving it, loving it. So let me go back to Osmosis. I got caught up talking about some Kuji. Makes me feel weird when I say Kuji. But Kuji trading on Osmosis for 162. On the 1 hourly chart, let me see here. Still running into some downward selling pressure. Coming down, like I'm watching right now. 146 to be, you know, the next range of support. That's really easy to look at. If that doesn't hold up, we could come down to 126. And then ultimately, I think, you know, 112 would be a really good buy as well. Kind of hard though on Osmosis. Liquidity is so small that you can barely even buy some of this. Like you have to split it up into really small buys. I tried to do a $1,000 buy and it was like, nope, not happening. Try to spend money. Wouldn't even let me spend money. So, but the more and more I'm getting into Kuji, the more and more I am getting very interested. I'm not getting overly bullish about it just yet. I do have some concerns, right? Like I would like to see the source, some of their GitHub open up a little bit, but so I get it. They had a back and forth with Jacob, which, you know, we love Jacob at Notional and stuff. Some people have their opinions about him. I love him because he speaks his mind. He says what he says. And even if it's like a bull in a China shop, you know, it does produce results. I don't mean to say that it is always the best way to get results, but, you know, it does do what it's intended to do. But he did have a back and forth a little bit with the Kujira Twitter handle. And they actually, and by his own admission, came out and was very, very honest about, yeah, we don't have it available for people to view. And that is for a reason, a strategic reason. So I appreciated the honesty and the way that they handled themselves. I think anybody that can handle themselves with Jacob in a reasonable, non-toxic kind of way, you know, is that's I'm all for that. You know, if people can hold their own using the words instead of you know, getting mad at each other, I think, you know, I get really bullish. That's just a confidence level sign. So. Yeah, I respected that with Kuji, so I'm still hopeful on it. I want to see it happen. You know, I want to see it. Some people calling for some ridiculous things, though. You know, $50, $100. You know how much liquidity has to come into there for that to happen? Like, I just want to see a $10. I'd be happy with a $10 return. But yeah. Let me know, guys. Let me know if you guys like that. Let me go into a couple of other things right here. Stars, actually. Look at Stars. Stars up a little over 2% right now, trading at 0.033 at the moment, having a little bit of selling pressure on the hourly, actually retesting previously on the hourly chart, testing previous resistance. I would like to see it hold up. But, you know, we got to close out the day. Guys. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. Anything else that... Ion doing well, up 4% on the day as well. Trying to get back up to that 1400 price point. If anybody knows what's happening with Ion, I really would like to see something get, you know, thrown out there from the team. I know there is a team working on, you know, the use case and Ion. I think at one point they actually had a web page up. It's been a while. I don't even know if they still have that web page up or not. But yeah, I would like to see something sometime soon come out for Ion. Same thing with Neta, right? Like I know there's a lot of talk about the Neta lockup or staking your Neta for I got to be honest with you. Seems like a long time for no good reason. But, you know, a lot of people are hopeful on what they're working on as well. Not trying to fight it, but, you know, that's a long lockup period. But a lot of people started buying it to lock it up in hopes of getting something back. So, it's really come up from where the low was. I think at one point it was like $30-something. Wasn't it like 30? No, what was it? Yeah, it was like $30-something. So, whoo. It's up to almost $200, guys. That's a return and a half right there. Let me know if you guys have some meta. SifChain, I don't really talk about SifChain all too much. A lot of people have kind of like turned their back on SifChain after what happened with their PTMP, PMPP, whatever it was called. I say that backwards all the time. They are doing some things, admittingly very late, but they are doing it right now. Trying to fix their validator setups, trying to bring more use case for their token, at least. Their platform works fine. As far as the tokenomics for Rowan, though, different story. They were doing good until they weren't. So I know a lot of people don't like to talk about it anymore. But it is up on volume today, $17,000 basically. The liquidity pumped up 1.47 with that volume coming in, and the price action is up 0.19%. Not a lot. It is what it is. But I would like to see, guys, we got friends over there that work, you know, shout out to Nomad and all this other stuff, work on the Discord, work on the team. I really would like to see SifChain start doing something to fix their tokenomics for Rowan. Again, their platform works fine. The Rowan token, though, just ugh. On the Osmosis platform, the liquidity is only 200,000. So small. Let me see if I pull up anything else. I'm really kind of like, we were talking about the Gravity Bridge and the Grav token recently, with them and Evmos. And again, just kind of surprising. You know, a lot of people were like, should I buy the Gravity token right now? And I was like, I don't know. It does sound very, very bullish, but like, man, this chart just not convincing me all too much. It's up 3.34% on the day, but that's like 2 cents. Or what is it? Yeah, no. What is it? Let me go here. Yeah, it's actually, you know what? Let me take it back. As I'm going into my charts, the volume is actually down right now. So just interesting. Interesting. Oh, all right. I think I covered a good portion of the tokens. I'm trying to look for any outliers here. Nope, I don't see any. Let me take it back. Asset Mantle is up 20 on price, 25.04% today. There was a God candle that happened earlier on today. Wow, what? Hold up, something ain't right. Yeah, God candles that happened earlier on today. What's that all about? Hello, someone tell me what's going on there. Huge volume spike from 0.09 all the way up to where it's at right now. That's 25%. It topped off at 30.7%. What's going on, Asset Mantle? What you doing? I don't even know anymore. I don't even pay attention to it anymore. Is that bad? I guess I should. I'm a YouTuber, so I guess I should, right? That's what I got, guys. Anybody, I'm gonna open it up for anybody that wants to jump up in here and talk about things. If not, I do want to kind of put out some self-shilling about the channel. Going to be looking into doing like maybe twice a week, so breaking up the 5 days. Again, I'm not fully convinced or committed to this just yet, but for the IBC Gang YouTube channel, which I usually do 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, I'm thinking about splitting that up and doing 2 days on Twitch And I'll be very, very honest. It's just a lot easier to be profitable there on Switch. I don't know how to say that, but you know, I do a lot of this stuff at cost to myself, at a loss. And so I am trying to look at a way to grow on the social media platform a little bit more. And I used to be a Twitch streamer before where I did my powerlifting routine. I promise you guys, it was a much easier place financially for a streamer. YouTube's just really freaking hard for the time and effort that I put into it. So going to be doing that. Be on the lookout for that, guys. I'm setting up a few things. And then when I do have the information, I'll definitely share it. Again, we're just testing things to see, you know, if there is even a following there, or even a community there to tap into. I think their crypto section does have somewhat of a little bit of a following. But again, like, I'm just curious to see if we could capture a few of you guys that might have Amazon accounts or maybe a Twitch account already, that would be, you know, willing to come along and join us there. I don't know. Again, it's one of the things too, if you have an Amazon account, you can use free Amazon Prime subs that help the streamers. So again, YouTube has nothing like that, and it's really, really hard to drain anything, especially since I don't take any kind of partnerships with protocols, or you know, nobody's paying me to, you know, say what I say and do what I do. So just something that I wanted to throw out there. You know, I don't know yet, guys. Trying to expand, trying to think of organic ways to kind of grow the IBC gang and also the Cosmos ecosystem, you know, transparently with the community from the ground up. So that's what we're trying to do. I don't see anybody really wanting to come up or say anything. I could rant for days on my own, but I feel like just nobody, you know, I'll give it another minute if nobody has anything they want to add. No, we do have so many. Tradars coming up here. What's up, Tradars? What's going on, my friend?
Hey, fat
Albert in the house.
real quick, I sent you a message, but I wanted to just pop up and say it too. I think maybe the God Candle on Asset Mantle might have had something to do with their community call. They did like a community call, I think, 2 hours ago. I saw the space live. So they must have dropped something bullish there. You know. Not sure what was said on it. Didn't give it a listen yet, but that's probably having something to do with the God Candle. So that's that update for you.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know they had a community call. I was, immediately looking at other things. So like I said, I'm not trying to stir the pot back, you know, but ever since some sketchy stuff happened, I just stopped looking at things. So
yeah, no, totally fair. Well, I just wanted to give that quick update because, I just happened to notice it earlier today while I was perusing Twitter myself this morning. So, yeah.
Okay, hey, while you're up here, how's the mint going? How's everything going over there with Tradars, and how's everything on the platform?
You know what? It's been wonderful. The mint's going really well. We still have the big kind of jackpot prizes out there. Two people have minted the ones that had 25,000 on them, but there's still three of those left. And those ones also have G key with them. And then the one really big one with 100,000 and one whole G key, that one is still there too in the mint. So hopefully somebody gets lucky and mints that guy soon. Other than that, I mean, the platform has been really wonderful. I think I haven't heard of anybody having issues with the actual Loop platform at all. Like, it's been just the most smooth, like no failed transactions, no like issues at all. The only issue that people seem to still kind of like be learning and struggling with a little bit is getting USDC onto the Juno chain. So it's been spending a lot of time helping community members just like, yeah, learn how to kind of get the right USDC on the chain. So that's kind of that's the barrier right now with state of entry. But I've definitely been walking a lot of people through that process. We have a pretty good process in place and some helpful graphics and videos and stuff like that to help out. So definitely happy with the performance and definitely super stoked for the Loop platform. It performed beautifully And yeah, I think the last I got was that the airdrop to the old Terra people is going to be tomorrow. And then after that, the DEX and staking and it, all the fun stuff is going to come live. So like tomorrow should be a
next week.
No, tomorrow. Like,
oh, all of it tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, well, at least the airdrop is supposed to start tomorrow. And I think the DEX is the last I heard the DEX goes live, like right after the airdrop. And then the staking goes live when the airdrop happens too. So like, in short succession, all of those, I don't know if it'll all be up in the same hour, but like in pretty short succession, all those things should happen.
Oof. I got to have Nina and Simon them all on the channel again.
Absolutely.
Man, I wish I could have done that. There's just sometimes I wish I should have, could have, but I didn't. They're probably going to be super busy tomorrow anyway. So I don't know.
I can make a poll. I might reach out to the team. I mean, if you want me to, or I'm sure you have a connection with them also. I mean, they're super amenable to jump into spaces real quick. So I can maybe make a plug if you want, or if you want to reach out to them. I'm sure they'd.
Oh, no. Yeah. I appreciate it. I got them in my DMs.
Yeah, there
too,
we go.
It's all good.
Sure for you to get to do the first analysis of Loop token price performance. And I'm hoping it's a bullish one. And I'm
gonna be all over that, man. All over.
Yeah, I wanna see a little Loop token pump here, because you know, right now, like the Loop tokens, they're worth X, let's say, right? But like if we get a little two times, a little three times on there, the NFTs from traders are like pretty much paying for themselves with Loop tokens. So
yeah.
I mean that's
I'm
just, come on, bring on a little two time pump for me right there on Loop tokens, and like that's gonna just be super rewarding for the community and for the minters.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be very upfront. I'm always, right? Like everybody knows me, I'm pretty upfront. I don't pull any punches other than that. There was a lot of talk and a lot of concerns from a lot of people saying, you know, watch out, because when the Loop does get distributed to the OGs and stuff like that. That were in Terra that, you know, unfortunately got wrecked and all this other stuff. There's going to be a big, you know, massive. Then that usually is traditionally what happens anyway with airdrops in those kind of community situations. A certain amount of it starts getting sold off relatively quickly, which I don't. I actually really promote that quite a bit, of selling off a certain percent of airdrops just to ensure people are winners, right? Maybe not the whole thing, but selling off airdrops is always somewhat of a good thing. But the people were going back and forth in the conversations I was in, like, hey, you know, just wait a little bit and don't buy Loop, or don't try to accumulate that much Loop just yet, because, you know, there's going to be a huge sell-off that's going to happen once people get access to their airdrop. But I will say, and it's kind of my same thoughts about a few other things as well. Like a lot of people that lost their shirts, like everything, right? Like a lot of people that got wrecked in Luna aren't coming back. Like it's sad. It's really, really sad, because we want them to come back, right? Like we don't want people to get murdered to the point where they give up on crypto. They'll never come back. But like the Terra was horrible. Like, you know, anytime you lose money, anytime something like that happens, it's horrible, but it really was pretty bad for a lot of people. And so like, as I understand, people are saying like, look out for this big sell-off event and all this other things. At the same time, it might be a little, over dramatized, because a lot of, they don't care. You could give them an airdrop of whatever amount. They just don't care anymore. Or they're so beat up that they don't want to come back. You know, it's kind of like the same thing what I was saying about with Evmos. You know, everybody's like, oh, the wreck drop, this is so cool because we all got wrecked. Like, it's kind of funny that we all celebrate that, but like don't understand, like, no, when we're talking about all these people getting wrecked and like exposed to hacks and all these other crappy experiences in Ethereum, like those people, they don't fucking care. That's why so much Evmos actually didn't get claimed, you know, in retrospective, because those people, they're gone. They're long gone. So like a lot of people, you know, are like, oh, wait until Evmos, those people come back and they grab all that, and then it's going to be bad on us. Look what happened. Look at the Evmos token. That's why I think part of my theory about why, you know, Evmos has been the gift that keeps on giving for the people that are still here is because those people never did come back. They're not going to. So kind of like the same thing I'm thinking, you might actually be right with the Loop platform for the Loop token. I'm not saying in like totally, because I understand, guys, I'm not that ignorant to the fact that it might actually happen. Like, of course, you know, it happens all the time. So I'm not saying it's not a sell-off won't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised, I guess is what I'm trying to say, if it isn't as bad as a lot of people are saying it's going to be. Like, we actually might see a pretty good situation happen with the Loop token when it gets dropped tomorrow. So kind of a rant there. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all good. I have a little something to add to that. I think, and I don't know how much people have studied like the way the airdrop is happening, but the airdrop is basically going to come as 25% is going to be like liquid tokens. And then the other 75% mm-hmm. are going to be like a reward NFT that come from Loop that you can like stake and claim Loop over. I can't remember how long the staking period is to claim your 100%. The thing that'll be interesting there is like somebody who is like long-term bullish on Loop versus somebody who is like short-term bearish. You could sell your 75% NFT on the marketplace, on the secondary marketplace, and basically be dumping your Loop airdrop. But it won't have an effect on a direct effect on the token price, because it's not like hitting the market. You know what I mean? It's not like hitting a liquidity pool and like changing that balance. So it is like a little different in this, in that there's the reward NFT. So a lot of people's like liquid portion, you know, that they, who knows what they're going to do with that. But like in the end, the long-term effect of the reward NFT should that be that it like takes some of that sell pressure off the market. You know, not for
kind of a little bit offset. That is a good point. That is a good point. Like I didn't even bring that point up too. Like they're not getting everything one time where it's like, yeah, we can just flood this and kill the liquidity mm-hmm. and whatever it is. But yeah, that's another great point. What's up, Running?
I was just going to echo what Pepe was saying, and I'm also very interested in this conversation, as I was lucky enough to mint one of the big ones in Traders.
Oh, did you?
I'm getting 25,000 Loop, baby, right off the bat.
Nice, congratulations, man! I feel privileged to get to meet someone. It's lucky. I never get stuff like that. So it's like getting to shake hands with somebody that wins the lottery.
So happy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I'm happy for him.
I enjoy winning as much as I enjoy someone else I know winning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been there. And the other thing is, you know, Loop airdropped on Terra for people that were staking Luna. So this is like the people who wanted to dumped it back on Luna, I think. I think the people that were holding Loop towards the crash, they were already loyal loopers. So I think they're going to continue to be loyal loopers and wouldn't have necessarily a reason to dump, because the dumper's already dumped.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's another really interesting and you know, something to think about going forward. But it is in this situation, right? Homestead, what you got, man?
Hey, Tank. Kind of just piggyback into what Traders and Running was saying there. With like, especially these first couple of projects that are launching with the token attached to it, like it's staked for 60 days on the Trader NFT. It releases over a 60-day period once you stake it. I don't know if it's going to be the same 60 days for other projects or not, but like that kind of gives the person buying the NFT, the rewards NFT, a little bit of time to ride out that initial volatility. That price volatility where it pumps or dumps and repumps and then finds its floor or whatever. So I kind of like that from my perspective of kind of like, hey, I'm going to have these tokens that are going to slowly come to me and I'll have them. And, you know, I'll get to see what happens with the DeFi protocols and things like that. And I'll have some stuff to invest into that in 2 months, you know, once those come up. Or if the Loop platform does amazing, I can sit on these things for 6 months or a year and see what happens. So I kind of like,
you know,
that.
To be honest, that's my plan. I'm
like,
sitting
you're
on
getting
it for,
these tokens and they're going to make you sit on them for a little bit, you know? So like, you don't have to have that like initial FOMO or emotional, like, oh, the price is pumping, I need to sell these tokens that came as a reward with my NFT. You're going to have to sit through that for that first 2 months, and then you can decide what to do with them. Or, I mean, if you've got one of the big ones, you could sell them off daily, I guess, if the price is doing great. But like down on the tier four ones, for me, I feel like that's almost like exactly what it is. It's just kind of like a staking reward, and you get to sit there and let it accumulate and hope it turns into something cool.
Yep. What's up? Go ahead, Pepe.
Yeah, just going to add to that too. I mean, one of the other interesting and really like dynamic parts of all of these reward NFTs is that you can list, and like the value of the tokens associated with it are shown right there on the Loop platform. So let's just take a scenario where one day, you know, like there is a like a God candle on Loop, and we see a big pump, right? And you could then just decide, like, I don't want to wait out the 60 days. You know, like maybe your Loop tokens are worth like X amount. I'm not, you know, whatever. And you could just say, like, I'll take a slight discount on selling the NFT with the tokens associated now. And then, you know, take that liquidity now, basically, to somebody who's willing to wait that 60 days for it. Right. So it's like it creates a really interesting market dynamic there where like you do have the option to exit your position via the secondary market, and just basically take us that whatever haircut you should choose to like take on that on that position, whatever you can sell it for. So it's interesting from that perspective too. Like, let's say the tokens on an NFT, they double in value, and you're like, well, I'll take like a 1.7 pump on them, and I'll just, you know, I'll lose that like little bit just to be liquid now. And if somebody else is like, I'm willing to wait 60 days to accrue the rest of those tokens or whatever, like then that's their position, and you know, you have your position, and everybody's happy, right? So it definitely adds a really fun and interesting market dynamic to the whole like secondary market on those.
It is. It is a very, very interesting flow that they've set up for themselves. And I even, you know, had them on the channel and specifically reviewed not only how it flows within that section, because they have multiple sections of their platform, right? But just their overall business model on how to stay profitable was very, very well thought out, very, very well. That's just what I remember. I don't have it in front of me because I'm actually in the car now. But from what I remember, it was very, very detailed, well thought out. And one of the things that I really praised about them, so they were really thinking it through. I did want to ask, and I was kind of talking about, I think maybe yesterday or maybe the day before, I do so many of these things. Do you know, I know your NFT project is currently incentivized with Loop tokens. Have they divulged to you? Are you privileged to say if they've made any arrangements with further projects coming in? And to kind of add on to that question and kind of load it up a little bit more, for anybody that doesn't know, when you answer that, could you explain to the people how they can go about getting Loop token? Because I don't think we've actually specifically covered that for anybody that might be new.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think this is privileged information. I think both of these projects have come out and said that they're going to have it. So the Knots team is going to be launching their NFT project on the Loop Marketplace, which is Trailer Park Kids. I hope I didn't get that name wrong.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. And their NFT collection, Trailer Park Kids, is also going to have a Loop token allocation on it. I'm not sure of the values or anything like that. That information isn't public to me yet. I believe Atlas, the Sky Monks.
Yeah.
Yes, those guys also, Jacob was discussing today that he said that they would also have a Loop token allocation with that. So yeah, so I believe both of those projects have come out and said that they'll also have Loop tokens, which would be awesome for both of them. Again, I don't know the allocations or how that's being structured. Those are all kind of private conversations between them and the team. So
yeah, I'm sure all of those are kind of unique and individual kind of conversations anyway. So
yeah, but I can kind of give some insight into how the team looks at things. So a big question for the team is emission rates. So like how many tokens are going to be claimable in any given day from a particular collection. Mm-hmm. So they're very like sensitive to like the emission rate to not like over emit against their own, like, like holders and stakers and stuff like that. So basically in the end, like it all comes down to what that daily emission rate is for a collection, making sure it's within bounds. And then like what percentage of the project's funds they want to go back to the community and the reward NFTs. So like for us, we're doing like a 25% basically give back in tokens. So like 25% of our mint price is essentially just like going towards those kind of Loop tokens to pay back to the community.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So, but and then to go into the backside for if you don't mind explaining to people how if you weren't part of, you know, the platform back in Terra, how do people, because I think a lot of people definitely get it, you know, kind of confused. They think they can just go on maybe like Osmosis and buy some Loop token. How do you come around getting yourself some Loop token if you don't have any at all?
So yeah, so Loop is going to be an all-around product. So they're also going to have their own DEX and DEX aggregator. So I've seen some people getting to beta test the aggregator. I haven't had time, you know, a little busy with other things right now, but I haven't had much time to get in there and test it myself. So the DEX itself will have swaps and they'll have certain incentivized pools. Mostly those pools will be just the like Loop token associated pools, I believe that's what they've said. They're not going to incentivize other pools right now because, again, they're very careful about their kind of emission rate and where their tokens are going. And so they're really trying to create value for the Loop community. So the other pools, like let's say you have like the Atom Osmo or the Juno Atom pool, for example, right? Like those pool, those trades are actually done through a DEX aggregator, as I understand it. And so what it's basically doing is it's searching JunoSwap, Secret Swap, you know, Osmosis, and any other DEXs that are out there, and doing like an aggregator for you. So looking for the best rates, best liquidity for your particular purchase. So yeah, so that's like, that's the DEX aggregator part, but the Loop direct pools will not be aggregated, as I understand. They will be just direct liquidity pools offered by the Loop protocol. So you'll just have to go to the Loop page to buy them. I'm not sure if they're setting up an Osmo pool or not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a different conversation. I did want to ask, you might not know this, and admittingly, I know you're not part of the team, but I'm trying to pick your brain, as I'm sure you've talked with them much more than all of us. Do you have any kind of idea as far as like percentages for those pools that they're going to be incentivizing for the Loop token?
Sorry, I don't.
I was fishing for that one.
Yeah, I know. Maybe there's some more information in the tokenomics paper. They did release an updated tokenomics paper, which had a lot of details in there. I was crunching some numbers on it too, looking at some like, you know, just doing some analysis on, you know, what the liquid like supply was going to be, what the circulating market cap was going to be at first, like when the airdrop happened. And I was crunching numbers myself, like trying to, you know, do some what if scenarios. So I'm not sure what all is contained elsewhere in there. Maybe I missed something. So definitely, I would say check that out. Like, it's a pretty well written document. I can actually pin it here to the top.
Yeah,
go ahead. If you'll give me like just a couple minutes here.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll definitely go looking for that. So,
and also while you're talking about that, I don't know. I know you said they have their main. Oh, they got so many different arms, right? But like their main accounts, Twitter accounts. I don't know if they put out how to go about getting USDC on the Juno side of things. Because I do, like we were talking about earlier, right? I really do think that more than likely was probably the big hang up for a lot of people as far as like minting a trade are. Which, you know, it's just a learning thing. And eventually people get pretty fluid with doing that. I think the vast majority of people, though, in the Cosmos space have learned how to do that. But I do think that was probably one of the bigger hang ups. Do they have or do you have a video that you were referring to kind of explaining to people how they could maybe do that so that they can maybe mint one of your guys' NFTs before tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. I will definitely agree with you there. I think I had a lot of people who got hung up on that fact, a lot of people who headed to Osmosis because that's just like where they're used to going to trade. And then they would be like, oh, there's USDC here. Sweet. Like, I know how Cosmos works. Like, everything's IBC. So they would just like swap into USDC on Osmosis and then be like, well, no, I'm stuck. Like, how do I get from here to Mint?
Not the same. Yeah.
Not the same, right?
Like, everybody thinks they know IBC, but it's not quite that way.
Yeah. I mean, even I was learning as I went here, like there was a lot of like growth and learning for me as I was trying to like help and creating useful and safe. You know, I hate to use the word safe because like you know, everybody needs to take kind of their own safety into things when they're connecting and like doing their own research and stuff like that. But I was trying to provide some like safe, you know, like safe and simple steps to get from, you know, from other IBC assets into the Juno chain to get USDC to go mint and like a pretty streamlined process. And, you know, it was a lot of learning even I was going through as I was trying to like, okay, where are people getting hung up? Like, it seems obvious to me. So where are they getting hung up and different things like that? But I will say, so there's a few different resources. We have some stuff in our Discord. I'm always in there. I'm always happy to help. We have some kind of simple graphics I produced. Like, they're not pretty, but they seem to do the job. Yeah. And then also on the Loop NFT page, they have used their Loop Learn platform to create some pretty awesome graphical videos for explaining how to go through different funding avenues. So I can also pin that.
I absolutely love the Loop Learn platform. Wonderful. I think every freaking protocol needs to have a earn and learn kind of function somewhere in it. Hell, I'll even say the one thing that I loved about Comdex is they at one point had like a university learn to earn thing. I think every fucking thing needs to have that. Osmosis, Juno, all of them need to have that. Get out your ass, go into the community funds, put a little sliver away for people to learn and earn, create wallets, get Juno, get Osmo, get these tokens in people's hands, free of charge, teach them about your platform, and that's how you're going to onboard people. Like it baffles me. It baffles me that not everybody is doing this.
I agree. No, I think the Loop Learn is literally wonderful. Creates a real sense of community. I hear from so many people who are writers for Loop Learn or the Loop community writing like posts. And yeah, it's such a wonderful sense of community. Everybody loves to just contribute and try and help each other out. And it's what it's all about in the end, right? So yeah, I definitely think it's literally a wonderful service, and I am really trying to find my. I know I wrote a post with Loop Learn details on it.
Okay, take your time. I'm gonna segue into. Oh, go ahead, Running. I see you're trying to say. Something.
Oh no, there was, and I don't know if Loop put it out or if you put it out, Pepe, in your Discord. But there was a flow chart that showed, you know, if you were starting at a DEX or a SEX, and then how it would flow into getting all the way to Juno to get the USDC. Step
that like was the float. That was the not pretty graphic I was talking about.
That's helpful though. People sometimes are more visual with those charts.
Yeah, no, that was I sent that to the Loop team and they were like, it's not pretty, and I was like, yeah, but it works.
Yeah,
like, but it's not on brand for us. I was like, okay, well then I will. They're like, I was like, I will post it. And you guys can make your own version of it that's on brand. But like, this is super helpful. So
I get polishing things up and making it all flashy. But I'm a firm believer in a lot of things in life that you could just, I love, you know, the keep it simple, stupid plan. It doesn't have to be flashy. It just needs to be legible. It needs to be like, obviously people can get it. And as long as they get it and it works, fuck it. It works. but yeah.
Yeah, that's basically the policy I took. I was like, guys, I got so much going on right now. I made a graphic. It does a really good job of getting people from point A, wherever that is for them, to point Z where they need to be. So like, yeah, I'm not gonna like go around and hire a graphic person right now. Yeah. I'm just gonna like send out this version that was quick and easy and dirty for me and it you know, and it works well. So
for sure,
I was like,
for sure.
I got a lot of other things going on. So yeah.
You know,
but no, that's exactly right, Running. There is that flow chart which we created, which is exactly meant to help people show from, depending on where they're starting, how to get to where they need to be.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I do want to take a quick second. I'm a horrible self-promoter. It's crazy. People might think that, like, what are you talking about? That's all you do is talk tank. But like, I don't talk about the things that I'm working on or trying to work on or develop enough. So while I'm reminded, I do want to take a quick minute while we still have it, and talk about the ultimate goal that I want, that I'm working towards with IBC Gang as a company, or as an entity in the Cosmos space, and the way that I can contribute or the IBC Gang can contribute to our space. And it kind of goes back to referring to that learn and earn kind of thing. I have a vision for the IBC Gang to hopefully eventually end up being a media arm of sorts in the Cosmos space. And what I mean by that is a collective, organized entity that helps promote, helps onboard, helps get the content out there for all of these protocols, and takes more of a chain agnostic kind of approach instead of a, you know, because I work here, because I'm doing this here, only talk about Secret, only talk about Juno because I'm invested into this. Like, I really do want to take more of a whole landscape kind of approach and get to a point where my ultimate goal with IBC Gang is to onboard other personalities that have, in my regards, the wellness and, you know, I call them the protector. I like to, in my mind, have this nerdy little vision in my mind where it's like protectors of the realm, right? Like going into like Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, where we protect the Cosmos ecosystem, but we don't take a stance per se on promoting any one chain individually. We want to create a media arm to where we could run content, have other people who have, you know, their perspective views and specialties. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. I haven't talked to them, but I love all these individuals. I'm not putting you guys on a spot at all, but like Cosmos Spaces, right? Like, get them on board, get Cosmos DeFi on board, because he talks about NFTs. Like Homestead talks about NFTs. Have kind of like a news channel of sorts. Maybe it's on maybe it's on Omniflix, where you can run kind of interactive, long-term, like 24/7 content, where in between these shows, like just like a news channel, in between these personalities and these shows, these segments, you can run ads that are learn to earn, where you could run questionnaires. They have on if you guys don't know, Omniflix has this really cool feature where they have interactive videos that you can watch, like a segment. Like, say I approached Juno and said, hey, Juno team or Juno marketing team or whatever, would you guys be willing to kind of come up with X amount of funds, our community, or Juno, and put it towards, you know, giving away slivers with this learn to earn things, with this content that you guys have, put it on this, and we'll run it 24/7 and help people onboard, create more wallets, get more Juno in people's hands. And that could be the same thing with, like, with Osmo. It could be the same thing with Secret. It could be the same thing with Evmos. It'd be your one-stop shop place to get different personalities' takes on, you know, what's happening with their segments on the show. But in between that, kind of run 24/7 live advertisements, you could say, or commercials that would help people learn and earn as they're going. So that's like, you know, if somebody steals that idea, great, I don't care. I just want that to happen, because I think, like a lot of people know, the Cosmos ecosystem, we have the best tech, we have the best devs, we have the best things going for us. But one thing that we don't have, and it's built by design, it's kind of like, you know, our double-edged sword, is we don't have a very well push for marketing with what we have going on, because of the way that the Cosmos is set up by design. Like, you know, to be able to own your own protocol, come and build something, own it with self-sovereignty and individuality and whatnot. But it doesn't work when we're trying to promote and market it, right? Like, all these places are fragmented and they have their own agendas. They have their own reasons on why they're trying to fish for liquidity and capture it in their own specific way. But there needs to be an outside source that is free from, you know, ties or structures, business structures or promises or whatever you want to call them, that can like unbiasedly put out this content for everybody. So that's kind of what I'm working. It's a huge, huge, lofty goal, but that's what I'm working towards with IBC Gang. And I just kind of want to remind everybody of the long-term goal that we're trying to accomplish. I don't know if it's even doable, but damn it, I'm going to give it a try. And I think it would definitely help not just one chain in particular, but all chains. You know, if we can get people more educated and more crypto in the hands of people, you know, not just via airdrops, but like, you know, by the means of educating them, I think that's how we actually grow long-term in a sustainable, maintainable way as far as the Cosmos ecosystem goes. So that's what I'm working on, guys.
I really, really love that vision. I really hope you succeed in that because I think that would be wonderful. And I think, like you said, yeah, the like learn and earn is a great approach. And yeah, I'm just super happy to say I have, and I pinned up there an example of it, but it's got the IBC gang poster.
Yeah,
in the NFT collection, because you guys are OGs, and I'm super proud that I wrapped that in the collection. So
whatever, yeah, guys,
I love that vision.
Whatever, guys. I was out head. I was looking for. I was just sliding into DMs on people when they were first minting the traders. I was like, who's got that poster? I want that poster. So I slid into a couple of DMs, and then like, thankfully, one of our own community members in the IBC gang Discord just came out of nowhere and was like, look. It was actually Alpha. Shout outs to Alpha. Just came out and was like, look, you know, I appreciate what you guys did, and just gave it to me. Just literally gave it to me. So shout outs to him. I was so happy I actually snagged one of them. But it was, you know, by the community. Jimmy, I see you over there, bud. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to bring you up here. So actually, I gotta wrap it up. I got to pick up my kids here in a little bit. But I love the conversations. Kevin, I see you over there. Everybody gains, everybody that came in and stopped in. Love you guys to death. You guys be safe out there. Remember to take profits. Check out each other. It's all about community. If you guys see people here that you may have seen in other spaces or even in other conversations and have yet to follow, drop them a follow. You know, you can always unfollow, but drop a follow, guys. It's all about learning the individuals out there. It's all about supporting each other and trying to grow as a community. So positivity goes a long way. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next spaces, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. See you, everybody.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the IBC Gang Cosmos Market Review, hosted by Crypto Tank, recorded on Thursday, August 18th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep it hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two. Help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all erect with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol. But it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal hit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, ride off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.